Welcome to Tordi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Hei, Chapter 35. In the previous perek, Yirmiyahu is stunned at the turn of events that happens in the time of Tzidkiyo, when the people finally listen to him to create a more just society by freeing their slaves, and then turn around and recapture them. This perek happens about a decade earlier, in the time of Jehoiakim, before the Babylonians have put a siege around Jerusalem, before the Chorban is imminent. However, the thematic connection between this and the previous perek will become clear as we understand the events of perek 35. In this perek, Hashem tells Yirmiyahu to go to the Rechavim and invite them to come to the Beit HaMikdash. There, he is to offer them wine to drink. These Rechavim are descendants of Jehonadab ben Rechav, who we've met in the story of Yehu ben Nimshi. Jehonadab ben Rechav joined Yehu as he killed out the idol worshippers in the northern kingdom in the time of Ahav. The Rechavim are also mentioned in Divrei Hayamim as a family of scribes that are descendant from Yitro. Yirmiyahu does what he is told and fills goblets of wine, which he offers to the Rechavim. The Rechavim look at the wine that is being offered to them and refuse to drink it. They explain, Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Vayumru, Lo nishta yayin, we will not drink wine, ki Yonadav ben Rechav avinu, siva alenu lemor, lo tishtu yayin, atem uvnechem ad olam. Our forefather, Yonadav ben Rechav, commanded us, saying, do not drink wine, you and your children, forever. In fact, Yehonadav ben Rechav lived hundreds of years ago, about 150 years before this event. So his descendants are keeping what he told them many years before. Not only this, but they add that Jehonadab and Rechav also commanded us not to own land, not to build houses or have farms or vineyards. Rather, they should live a life in tents. They explain that they are a nomadic people. This is our way, and we've been keeping this commandment of our ancestor all of these years. They conclude in verse 8, V'nishma b'kol Yehonadav ben Rechav avinu, we listen to the voice of our forefather Yehonadav ben Rechav, l'chol asher tzivanu, to everything that he commanded us, levil tishtot yayin, kol yameinu, we don't drink wine any days that we live, anachnu, nishenu, banenu, ubnotenu, we, our wives, our sons, and our daughters. Continuing into verse 9, Levilti b'not batim, l'shivtenu, we don't build houses to live in them. V'kerem, v'sadeh, v'zera, lo yelanu, we do not own vineyards. We do not plant fields. We do not plant anything. That's not our lifestyle. Instead, in verse 10, v'nishev alim, we live in tents. V'nishma, v'na'as, kasher tzivanu, Yonadav avinu, we do what our forefather Yonadav and Rechav commanded us. This interaction with the Rechavim is its own ma'aseh simli, its own symbolic action. Yirmiyahu knew that they would not drink the wine he was offering, but their steadfastness, their loyalty, offers a point of comparison to the people of Yehuda. Yirmiyahu says to the people of Yehuda in verse 14, who come at Divrei Yehonadav ben Rechav, asher tziva banav levil tishtot yayin. They kept what their forefather taught his children not to drink wine, velo shatu ad hayom hazeh, and they don't drink it until today. Ki shamu et mitzvat avihem, because they listened to the commandment of their forefather. Va'anochi, and I, Hashem, dibarti aleichem, hashkem v'tzaver, velo shamatem elai. And I, Yirmiyahu, speaking in the words of Hashem, I speak to you over and over, and you don't listen to me. The Rechavim are loyal to the words of an ancestor for hundreds of years. But you, B'nai Israel, cannot be loyal to a living God who speaks to you right now. Yirmiyahu tells them, Halo tichu musar. You can learn a lesson from the Rechavim in steadfastness and loyalty. This ma'aseh simli, however, can be understood on a deeper level. The Rechavim are living a nomadic lifestyle. They do not own land or set up farms. They do not produce anything from the ground. Like a Nazir, they refuse to partake of wine, of the pleasures of the earth. They are ascetics. I heard from my sister, Shir Shaiowitz, that the Rechavim represent an alternative to the sophistication of the city, to the corruption that comes with planting farms and getting drunk of the wine of the vineyards, of worshiping the body, of throwing oneself into technology. They leave all of that behind and have maintained their loyalty and goodness. It is in total opposition to what's happening in Yehuda. People that are so obsessed with acquiring more wealth, more farms, more everything, that it becomes the goal of what they do in their lives. These simple nomads refuse to become part of that society. It echoes of the story of Cain and Hevel, the farmer versus the shepherd, one who puts down roots and cultivates materialism from the land, and one who refuses to be involved in materialistic things and instead wanders with the sheep. We see here the dichotomy that Rav Soloveitchik spoke about between Adam 1 and Adam 2. Adam 1 embraces the technology of the world, tries to cultivate the world to all of its greatness, to reach its majesty. But it's Adam 2, the lonely man of faith, who reaches deep within himself and finds his own spiritual center. Each person is a combination of both Adam 1 and Adam 2. However, here in this story, we see that they're split. B'nai Yisrael has become only Adam 1, without Adam 2, only concerned with getting more, with acquiring, with technology, with reaping the benefits of the world, no matter who it hurts. And the Rechavim represent only Adam 2, one who has divorced themselves from the world, one who has cut themselves off from something that could cause them to become what B'nai Yisrael are right now. Yirmiyahu seems to be saying that the Rechavim are able to maintain their loyalty because they haven't been corrupted by the very thing that is corrupting the people of Yehuda, wealth, the drive for wealth, and the drive for pleasure. Instead, they stay far away from the corrupted capital, the one where, in Parak 4, Yirmiyahu could not find one moral person. And instead, the Rechavim wander around in the north and in the other areas of Yehuda. In fact, they explain to Yirmiyahu in verse 11 that they're only here in this area near Jerusalem because of the Babylonian occupation. Otherwise, they would stay far away from such a civilization. Rav Beni Lau connects the philosophy of the Rechavim to the story of their ancestor Yehonadab ben Rechav in Tanakh, the one who joined with Yehu when Yehu killed out the idolaters in the north, a terrible and violent killing of hundreds of people. Rabbi Lau believes that it was then that Yehonadab ben Rechav commanded his descendants to separate from the lifestyle that will lead them to this type of bloodshed and disgrace, and perhaps the lifestyle of corruption that would lead a person to want to serve an idol that promotes such corruption, as we have discussed. That the idolatry that does not create an ethical or moral society, and a person who would end up being killed out so violently by someone like Yehu. Yirmiyahu, however, does not agree wholeheartedly with the Rechavim and their path. He does not promote this type of asceticism, or does he see no redemption in the life of the city. The Rechavim's philosophy is Levilti benot batim v'lishivtenu v'kerem v'sadeh. We don't build houses to live in them, nor do we acquire vineyards or farms. But Yirmiyahu tells the exiles in Babylonia a few years later, in chapter 29, when he's creating his perfect society, albeit one in exile, Benu batim v'shevu, nitu ganot v'achlu et peryam, build houses and live in them, plant vineyards, plant gardens, and eat their fruit. But then he says to combine it with Kratem oti v'halachtem, v'palaltem elai, v'shamati aleichem, calling out to Hashem, prayer, and also the hope for redemption, for leaving this civilization that they've created for something better, for going back to Eretz Yisrael. The ascetic life does not necessarily, the life of materialism does not necessarily have to lead to corruption. Building cities does not have to lead to a society that where people are indifferent except to their own needs. Unfortunately, in Yirmiyahu's time, it did. But part of his job is to be one who tears down this type of society. But another part of his job is to be one who's livnot vilentoa, a builder and a planter, one who does not reject materialism, but rather knows how to use it for good, one who does not reject the advances of civilization, but can temper them with prayer and kindness and morality. For now, though, the way of the Rechavim has won out. Jerusalem is seeped in corruption, and the nomadic Rechavim are loyal to their principles. Yirmiyahu hopes that this can change. Perhaps now we see the connection with our earlier perek. In last perek, chapter 34, Yirmiyahu finally found the type of city that he was looking for, one that was experienced by the poor people who were left after Galut Yehoyachin, after the artisans' exile, after all the people who were seeped in their materialism were moved to Babel. And those were the people who empathized and freed their slaves. But when they took those slaves back, then Yirmiyahu lost faith in anybody who's part of a civilization. And perhaps that led him to want to embrace the Rechavim and their way of lifestyle, their way of life, even though it's so different than what he proposes as the ideal. Perhaps they stand as a warning, as a bulwark against the corruption of society, because they still have loyalty and because they still have steadfastness. And this is what Yirmiyahu wants the people to learn from the Rechavim. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilo Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.